and welcome to Philadelphia Focus. I'm Laura Lewis, and with us today from Toastmasters, we have the Mainline president, Philip Haggerty, and we have former president and an officer with Mainline, PJ Klein. Welcome, you two.
Well, thank you very much for having us.
I've got a question to throw out. What do Chris Matthews, astronaut Jim Lovell, and Leonard Nimoy have in common?
They were all Toastmasters.
I did my homework.
Nice. Yep.
I have to say, I was very intimidated about having you two in here today because I've never had a speech class. And I think listeners to this show can pretty much attest to that. So it's interesting to talk to somebody who actually works hard at their communication skills.
Wow, that's interesting. One of the things you're doing right now is communicating with a lot of those skill sets that we work on. And just because it's known as a speech organization, that's not the only thing that we focus on. Toastmasters are going to focus on a lot of different leadership things, like learning how to do impromptu things, learning how to answer questions on the rapid fire, and just really be dynamic on your feet. It's not one of those things of it's static, it's not moving, we're not adapting to the times and what we're really going through. So it's interesting that you say that it's just speech on that side of it.
Well, see, now I already had a misconception. Let's get started. We're going to back it up now.
Oh, yeah, for
what's
sure.
What's the mission statement, your elevator speech for Toastmasters?
Okay. As you know, public speaking is the number one fear for most people, and we've all been in that situation where you're called on in a meeting and or you're asked to give a presentation and suddenly your friend wants you to give a toast impromptu, and we all have that feeling where we get the heart pounding and the sweaty palms and the roaring in the ears and the wobbly knees and, oh, what am I going to say? And we freeze. What Toastmasters does is provide a very safe, supportive, and enlightening environment where people come to practice their speaking skills in a very safe environment. One of the things we always say in the meetings is make your mistakes here and you're less likely to make them out there. And if you do make them out there, that's fine because you're going to be able to handle it with poise and confidence because you've had practice. And like everything else, no matter what you take on, practice, practice, practice is always the key.
Well, so let's talk about the organization. How did this actually get started?
It was started in 1924 by a gentleman by the name of Ralph Smedley, and he was working with troubled youth in California. And he found that the troubled youth were having trouble making eye contact and not being good communicators. And he developed a program that would teach them how to speak, stand up, make eye contact, and communicate effectively. And the results were amazing. And as a result of that, it grew and grew. And currently, Toastmasters organizations are in 143 countries, nearly 17,000 chapters, and over 350,000 members.
You're everywhere, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely. We're international. If you go to the UK, to Germany, any place in Europe, even places in Asia, we have local clubs there that are doing the Toastmasters framework and working on all of their journeys on that side of thing.
Now, you just said in that framework, so I was about to ask, is it the same if I were going to a Toastmasters meeting in Japan, if I joined in Britain, if I joined the Mainline where you two are located, would I be getting the same actual program?
That's a really good question. The answer is yes, it's the same program. It's going to be whatever local language the club has. So if it's in Germany, they're most likely going to be speaking in German unless they're specifically focused on that English side of things. But we actually rolled out a new framework to keep up with modern times of pathways, and that's really leveraging the online resources, and then you can choose your destination and the computer will navigate you through what you want to work on, whether it's dynamic leadership or you want to work on improv skills or comedian or something along those lines. And there's a couple different pathways that we have set out, and we can find out more details online for those things. But that's a lot of what we'll take you through. And that framework is really set by the international standard, and then they bring it forward, and the local club executes it, celebrates awards, celebrates new members, getting on new journeys and things on that side.
Well, then who becomes a Toastmaster?
All sorts of people. I tell you, we have, as we're talking about languages, I will say we have a number of members in our club and clubs throughout the area that English is their second language. and they may be here for jobs. They've moved to this country for jobs and or college, and they need to improve their speaking skills in English. And we have a lot of those members, and we see amazing improvement with them after just a few meetings with us. Who becomes a Toastmaster? Phil and I are from different walks of life.
Absolutely.
My background is sales professional. I personally joined because even though I give presentations all the time and I meet with people face-to-face, I found that I was lacking certain skill set, and that was more the impromptu speaking, as to being asked that question in a meeting, I would freeze up and I would sweat. If I have my material prepared in advance, I'm fine. I know it like the back of my hand. Coming to impromptu speaking was a whole different ballgame. And I joined Toastmasters for that reason. And I have to say, the thing that I learned when I joined was that I'm not as good as I think I am. And I think every meeting I go, you know, yeah. I'm not as good as I think I am. No matter how much I do this, I always learn and I always get better. We have college students. We have people from other countries. We have professors. We have inventors. We have authors. We have
engineers.
Yeah. We have blue collar. We have white collar. People from all walks of life. We even get this certain person that'll come in and go, I was just asked to give a speech at my best man's wedding. I need help.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so relatable. You get all different people from different walks of life. And one of the things that happened to me when I first showed up to a meeting was, wow, look at how these people are all so good at public speaking. And I thought I was good. And then you show up and you see how good you can be. And you get to take that knowledge that everyone brings in their local community. And you bring that and you're learning from this person engineering and that person on a different walk of life and their sales and marketing. And you get to connect those skill sets and see how you can use them, how you can leverage them to better yourself. And it was really interesting. I thought I was a good public speaker, and then I showed up to Toastmasters, and there was so many things I could work on from an individual side that it was exciting. It was fresh.
And what's beautiful about it is that in the meetings, we're all on the same level. It doesn't matter if you're a CEO or a college student, we're all on the same level because we're all there to learn from each other. And I can learn as much from a CEO as I can learn from a person who's there for the first time that's never spoken in their life, and they have an observation and they say something and I go, whoa, that's really good.
In general then, you get thrown in to general population?
That's something that's unique. What you'll end up usually wanting to do if you're getting into Toastmasters is you'll want to join, not join, but you'll want to visit a couple clubs and see which one really speaks to what you're looking to get out of it. There are going to be religious ones. There's going to be corporate clubs at the GSKs and the Johnson Johnsons and the big corporate companies like Amazon. But really, if you're looking for something else that's not that, then there's other clubs out there that you'll want to visit and see and talk to their president and talk to their members on, hey, how are you finding this going along? Are you getting the right things out of it? Is this where we have a match? Are things fit on that side?
So you can shop around to find the one that fits you the best, the personalities there, et cetera.
Absolutely, and that's what we encourage.
But yet, at your club, there would be somebody who had been with Toastmasters for 20 years, and there might be somebody who'd been there for 20 weeks.
That's exactly right.
Yep.
Is there graduation ever? Do you ever feel like you've graduated from Toastmasters?
No.
Is there graduating from life? Is that possible? It's kind of rhetorical in a way, because you could be amazing, but there's still something to improve on, or even you get rusty. What you see is you see a lot of members, they'll go out and they'll be working for a while, and then they'll come back and you'll look and you'll say, wow, you've gotten rusty on your skill set. You haven't kept up with it. So that's something where you can benefit from both sides of it, whether it's polishing up or it's even just getting better on that side of things.
I know a member of Toastmaster who is a CEO of a large nationwide healthcare company, and I met her as a Toastmaster. And she told me she's been a Toastmaster for 30 years, and she does a lot of speaking. And she says that if she doesn't come to Toastmasters and practice, she gets rusty. Even though she speaks all the time, she's addressing employees, stockholders, all of these big, huge conventions that she goes to, she'll come to Toastmasters and go, I want to run the speech by everybody. Can I practice it here? And we go, absolutely, come on in.
And is that how it operates? I mean, actually, how does it work? I mean, if somebody walks in the door for the very first time, what's the process to teaching somebody how to give a good speech or become a good public speaker?
I think we should describe what our typical meeting is like, Phil.
Yeah, we have two things that go in that. A typical meeting is going to start with one side, and then we also have a mentorship program. I'll start with the typical meeting. And when we come in, our club has the certain amount of members where we can do introductions. everyone has an introduction. They get up and they say something about themselves, and there may be some type of theme during the day, which is really something of an elevator pitch of who are you? What are you about? What do you bring into the club? And then we have an additional part of the meeting where you have people timing it to see, are you in time? Are you speaking in the right language? Are you using so you know, or even repeating different lines on that side, like I just did there. And then the other side of it is you're going to get the prepared speeches. And also to practice those impromptu skills, we're going to get a side of table topics. And what table topics is a question to a member in the audience where they're going to answer it and they're going to have to think on the fly. And one example might be, PJ, tell me about a time on vacation that was one of your most favorite experiences you've ever had and why.
So the question is, as the table topics is, what is my best vacation memory and why?
That is correct.
All right. My favorite vacation memory, I'm reminded of a quote, and that quote is, sometimes the most difficult roads leads to the most beautiful destinations. And I say this because my husband and I were on a trip to Costa Rica, and we're trying to find a volcano. And we rented a car, and we were driving through Costa Rica, and it was probably about 20 miles away, and this road had to be the worst road I'd ever seen in my life. It had potholes as big as a house. And it was crazy for us to try to dodge these potholes and go around, try not to get over the cliff. Inevitably, of course, we blew out a tire. So we're there, we're changing the tire. People came along to help us, so we got to meet some native Costa Ricans. We were able to change the tire, and we finally got on our way. And after a little bit of more trepidation and obstacles and detours, we finally hit the destination to this most beautiful volcano we'd ever seen in our entire life, where our jaws dropped. And I would have to say that was probably my favorite vacation memory.
Oh, I heard two tricks there. You repeated the question.
Yes.
You repeated the question. You followed up. You repeated it again. And you began with the question.
It's called the sandwich approach, and this is a real good tip that people can use with impromptu and on-the-spot speaking, and that is the sandwich. So imagine the first slice of the bread of the sandwich is the opening, where you repeat the question. First, you want to make sure you understand the question, and you ask the questioner, is this what you're asking? Yes. That also buys you a little bit of time. Then you tell a story. If you can make it a personal story, do a quote, some sort of homily, my grandfather used to say, like that, and get to your point, and then wrap it up at the end with the other slice of bread.
And I like what you said there. I thought you were just buying time when you said that, but you were indeed confirming what was the information that I was trying to get, or that Phil was trying to get from you. So you weren't going to speak off topic either. So
yes,
it solved two problems, bought you time, and it confirmed what you were supposed to talk about.
Exactly. And it's also good for the audience too. And this is also good for a Q&A. If you're ever doing a question and answer and you're asked a question, it's always good for the person answering the question to repeat the question for the audience, because maybe not everybody heard it, or maybe not everyone understood it. So you're being able to set the scene and then can buy yourself some time at the same time.
Can Toastmasters beat bad habits out of somebody? Like, or I speak with my hands. And the plastic surgeon said, well, it's very unfortunate you have an expressive face. I look like a cartoon character, and I know it. My hands are flailing and my eyes are bulging and my mouth is wide and nostrils are flaring. Can Toastmasters correct problems in somebody?
That is something up to the individual. One of the things you asked is, can you correct a problem? And maybe not even a problem, something you may not be aware of. So the first part we use is feedback. We get feedback on all the prepared speeches, or even individually between members after a meeting. And they're going to bring up, are you saying too much? And that's the part of the role in the grammarian where they'll mention to you, you said six times, you said seven, you slide on your words or you slur them a little bit. And we're going to bring those things up, and all of a sudden you're going to ask yourself the question, wait, how much am I doing that in my professional life? How much am I doing that in my personal life when I'm just talking to a family member?
An example would be, he won't mind if I say his name, Joe Smith. Give him a nice little plug.
Yeah, we love Joe.
And he was the king of you knows. Our grammarian report counted. He said 36 you knows throughout the evening. He would have a sentence and say it five times. times, right, Joe? And what happens is by the grammarian at our meetings calling attention to you that you're saying these things, you're doing your ahs, ums, you know, you're less likely to do them once you're aware of them. Now, I think Joe says, you know, once or twice.
He's great.
Improved dramatically, as we all have. I know that I don't use as many uhs, ahs, ahs, likes, you know, because I'm aware of them now. And that comes from coming to the Toastmasters meeting and had the grammarian report on it and give it right back to you saying, this is what you did tonight.
Sometimes I think I'd like to have one of those squirt bottles that they use on cats when they get on the table. I haven't, I almost said who it was, who says like.
Oh,
like,
that's the worst.
Like, and then like, I sit there and I don't hear a word she's saying because I'm counting likes. And I think if I had that squirt bottle, you know.
Yeah. Negative reinforcement?
Negative reinforcement. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. And zap, zap, zap. But that's
maybe
beyond.
We'll try that at our meetings. We'll bring a squirt bottle.
Maybe just between you and I. I don't know about everybody. We'll talk about that.
Oh, that's terrible. Okay, but anyway, if you would like more information about what we are talking about today, Toastmasters.org is the place to go, and you will find out more information about the basic program, their Pathways program, which we're going to get into as well, and how you can locate a meeting or a chapter that is the closest to you. My guest today, former president and an officer now with Mainline Toastmasters, PJ Klein, and its current president, Philip Haggerty. And I am Laura Lewis, and you are listening to Philadelphia Focus. And obviously, I've never had any speech training, and I would rather be in front of a firing squad than facing an audience. That's what I love about radio. I don't see any little eyeballs looking back at me. Can you cure things like that?
You're never going to cure the butterflies in your stomach. You're always going to get them. And even now, going from talking in front of people to on the radio, it feels totally different. I feel nervous. And you're never going to get that feeling and totally get rid of it. It's kind of like an athlete who goes out to compete. You're never going to get rid of the pregame jitters. But what you can do is you can learn how to manage it, and you can learn how to control it and use that force for emotions of positive or emotions of static, where you don't want it to get it to too high of a level. And those are some of the things we coach and we train at Toastmasters.
One of the things that we found too is that practice, practice, practice. The more you practice, the more confident you become and the less likely you are to get totally nervous. And when you are nervous, you are able to channel that into energy. There are some exercises that we do talk about that can help people calm nerves. And I use these a lot. And that would be simply before you're getting ready to speak, take some deep breaths. Do a couple of breathing exercises. If you can, run up a flight of stairs, run up and down a little bit, any kind of exercise to get your body moving. We also promote, please avoid caffeine, avoid carbonated beverages if you can before you speak, and then visualize yourself as being successful.
Don't visualize the audience naked.
Well, if that works for you, go ahead.
I've always heard that.
Yes. If it makes you successful, keep doing it.
I've heard that as well. And I guess the main thing to know too is that the audience wants you to succeed. They want you to be successful. The audience is your friend. When's the last time you want to hear a speaker and go, God, I hope he's terrible? You don't say that. You want it to be good. And as long as you know that the audience is your friend and you make some eye contact with them and find some friendly faces, there's a lot of little tips you can use like that to alleviate the nerves.
Mm-hmm. We mentioned, I think, a couple of times now, the giving the toast at a wedding or making a presentation. But I'm thinking, you know, if you're a salesperson and you are talking to customers who walk in, and I'm hearkening back to your founder,
Ralph Smedley,
talking to troubled youth. And I'm thinking there are a lot of benefits in this for anyone, actually, aren't there?
That's a good question. It sounds like you're asking the benefits of Toastmaster.
Yeah, because there's benefits for anyone.
Oh, absolutely. And if I take the example of salesperson that you had on that side, one of the biggest things salespeople do is run meetings. And that's going to be one of the best benefits you get out of Toastmasters, how to run an effective meeting. You're going to go to a lot of meetings at Toastmasters if you join, and you'll see the good ones, and you'll see the bad ones, and you'll see the mediocre ones. And you're going to learn what makes it work, what doesn't make it work. And even going to the other example where you're coaching other youth, you're going to learn how to enhance their teamwork skills. How do you get them to cohere as a group? How do you get them to work together and communicate in a way that's really going to touch them and get them to be motivated to get to their next step as an individual?
When I said sales, I actually meant, what if I work in a store or I'm a car salesman?
That's going to speak a lot to the training that you get on the job, of course, knowing your product knowledge is what that comes down to. And there's also creative ways and interesting ways to present information. I'm in advertising. I've always been in advertising. And one quote that I love says, it was from the gentleman who invented David Ogilvy, who had the famous advertising agency, he said, you will never bore people into buying your product. Mm. You will never bore people into buying your product. And when you keep that in mind, that you realize you need to be compelling. You need to have a compelling story and a compelling reason. And this, again, is where training in speaking skills can help you tremendously in that area.
I read the notes on pathways, and it talked about different ways to approach speaking, and one of them was humor.
Yeah, humor is a very effective way to get across what you're trying to communicate. There's always something interesting or funny about situations, and a lot of comedians, you'll see them use the skills trained. I read Kevin Hart's book where he talked about his own individual journey, and a lot of things he started talking about in this book was exactly what Toastmasters harps on, of talk about your story and how it relates to you, and that'll really get your audience to connect with you instead of just the generic side of things.
There's also curriculum that helps people practice and improve on certain skills that maybe they lack. And this is something that we as Toastmasters will help each other with. There's one manual that teaches you how to use body language effectively. You were talking earlier about your gestures, your hands going crazy. There are ways and techniques and tips that we can offer and train people where you're using your hands more effectively. You're using those gestures in the most powerful way. You're able to walk the stage and use the space that you have with purpose. There's another one that we offer in the program, which is vocal variety, being able to project, being able to raise your voice louder to make a point and then go softer too, and perhaps use a pause for drama if it's called for.
So this could help you in any conversation even.
Absolutely.
This could help you over when you're fighting over the meatballs at a buffet and you don't know anyone in the room.
Absolutely.
So what is the Pathways program? What's the ultimate goal of Pathways? I'm going to keep bringing back that one up because you mentioned that one is your newest program.
That's correct.
And it embraces newer technologies?
So Pathways does embrace new technologies. It's all computer-based. You can print out any of the documents if you're working on something that's ad. There's 300 practical workplace and life questions that you can answer in the Pathways system. It's going to take you through a step-by-step way of getting to how to get better at that skill and how to build a better you. The five that it starts with to get to those 300 is public speaking, interpersonal communication, strategic leadership, management, and even confidence as an individual. It takes you from those five, takes it down to the 300 ways, and then helps you build those skills.
Ah, so it tailors a program for you to work on where you're lacking the skills to get to what you want to be, the more successful you.
Absolutely. And one of the things what we'll do when you come in the door is we'll pair you up with a mentor, and that mentor is going to coach which questions to answer on the website, and it takes your answers, filters it to what you're going to get out of it, and pairs those two things together to get to that one out of 300 that's going to be what you want right now in that.
So you can go to Toastmasters to work on one particular area. Maybe you know you never will be on that stage or making that big multi-million dollar pitch, but you'll be able to work on your confidence or your body language to present the best possible you can.
Right. It all is a package. It all comes together, and you can benefit from all of it because a good speech, whenever you see a good speaker, they have a lot of the same traits. They make the eye contact. They have vocal variety. They have body language and gestures that they're using effectively. What we do at Toastmasters for the first speech that people give is called the icebreaker. And that's the easiest one, supposedly, because you're talking about yourself. That's the goal of it. Each new member is assigned a mentor. And that's a seasoned veteran Toastmaster member. And the mentor will work with the new member and guide them through how to pick a topic, how to craft the speech, because there is an organization to a speech, which we could get into if you wanted to, how that is formulated, and also work with them on their gestures and their body language and their vocal variety. And then, of course, after every speech at the meeting, each speaker is assigned an evaluator. The evaluator will give a formal evaluation has to craft it very nicely to give constructive feedback as to what they liked about the speech, what they felt could be improved about the speech, and what they'd like to see the speech for the next time.
Now, we're starting to run out of time, and so let's get into how does one become a Toastmaster, and is it an expensive program? Is it a dues membership? How does it operate?
Toastmasters' annual dues are about what it takes to go to the grocery store one time. It's not that expensive when you look at it. It's about $100 for the full year to join. And each local club will have some things that are different, whether they are at a community bar or they're a corporate club where you might even consider if your company is going to pay for that because it's part of your personal growth. And that's one of the ways that you get involved in the annual dues.
About $100 a year.
A year, yeah.
Yeah,
that's it.
$100 a year, and it's like equivalent to a college course to me. The
even
education,
even more.
The value that I get out of it is amazing. It's
the amount
worth
of,
so much more.
The amount of people that we have that come from PhD to master's, bachelor's, even just working in other jobs, that they take those skills, they bring them back to the local clubs. It's amazing how much you're getting out of the different members, whether it's their training on that side or the Toastmasters organization itself. They all bring something valuable.
Now, do you make friendships through this? Is this a good way to network as well?
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Yeah.
We have people forming strategic alliances all the time. Like someone's an inventor and someone says, well, I wrote a book. Let's get together. We'll talk about this. We'll write a book on your invention. We have people that do that all the time. We're a very close-knit group. Our mainline Toastmasters especially, we're a very tight-knit group.
And so some would might meet in a library, other, well, no, you have to be quiet there, but some might
maybe
meet, some might meet in a restaurant room, others mm-hmm. might meet in a coffee shop. Do you have committee meetings and stuff like that too?
Yeah. Again, whenever you go to Toastmasters.org, there's a tab called Find a Club, and you click on that and you type in your zip code. And it's going to give you a list of all the clubs in that zip code area. You could even say within a 25-mile radius. And we do recommend that you go shop around. Visit a couple different clubs because they are different. We meet in a bar, Mainline Toasters. We meet in a bar, and we find it really advantageous for speaking because there's so many distractions, which is real life, right? We have the server coming in, taking orders, serving food, giving people beer, and we go, this is great. Just keep doing that, and we're going to keep on talking. And then you might have other clubs that, like you said, meet in a retirement home. Maybe they meet in a conference room at a company
and
that has loaned them space.
What's the time commitment?
Our meetings are 2 hours at our club, and mostly, for the most part, they're about an hour to an hour and 15 minutes.
And how often do you meet?
Twice a month.
Twice a month. That's not much of a commitment time-wise for something that could help you career-wise and
Absolutely.
In lifestyle, life
right.
skills for the rest of your life. So a really cool deal there.
You get what you put into it, you get out of it. If you're going to put a lot of work into Toastmasters and ask yourself the questions, what words am I repeating? Where am I getting the benefits? You're going to get a lot out of it on the other side. If you come in with a goal, you're focused on that. We see people have great success in their careers, get promoted, and then they end up moving somewhere else, and they join another club in Montana or somewhere out there, and you just ask, like, oh, okay, good job. We're glad you got that promotion, but we're really going to miss you because we are a tight-knit group.
Okay, and again, when we go to Toastmasters.org, we can look for the club that is closest to us and then shop around and find one that fits our personality.
And what you'll find at every single club is that, again, it's a very safe, supportive environment. Everyone is there to help each other get better. That's our goal. You can feel safe. You can feel comfortable. You can feel secure because we're all there to help each other and we're all at the same level. And I don't care who you are, you will bring your own unique set of skills to the Toastmaster Club, and we will learn from you as well.
Wonderful. And I don't think you could end it any better way than that. And we are out of time. Here's where I have to say thank you to PJ Klein. She's an officer with the Mainline Toastmasters and its president, Philip Haggerty. Thanks for coming in today.
Thanks
for having us.
It was our pleasure. Thank you.
Toastmasters.org, the place to go for more information. I'm Laura Lewis. This has been Philadelphia Focus.